Okay.
One sorrow to be hesitating. Dr. Shannon, English professor, father of the later president of the University of Virginia, was influential. I admired him. I didn't feel as close to him as I maybe had do it to some others. You know, I hesitate now because I haven't got any memory of that.
Uh-huh. What was your major?
Well, we didn't have majors in those days.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I did, but...
You know, I think you're right. I think that developed a little later.
Yes. I was interested in English. Mathematics was not among my major interests. Of course, I enjoyed some history. And
now I looked you up in the yearbook, and I see that you were involved with the newspaper, with the Ringtum Phi.
Oh yeah, I was manager of the Ringtum Phi. I forgot about that. The important person was the editor of the Ringtum Phi, who was I can't call his name now. I can see him. That's the only elective office I had around for a while, and but you know a lot about me.
Well, I like to do my homework.
You should have given me time to do mine. Well, have you got anything else?
Well, I also saw that you were in the Washington Literary Society.
Yes.
And I don't know exactly what that means.
Well, it was such a society which met maybe once a month and maybe often, and where the students would present paper and we would discuss it. So on, I recall the law students being in it, just to cultivate our interest in literature generally. And thankfully, I was a member of the Literary Society. I don't think it was particularly significant.
Well, I know it's at some point. You had to be a member of, there were two literary societies.
Yes.
And I don't know whether that was still true in your day, but that there was some time where you had to be in one or the other. There was a Graham Literary Society and a Washington.
What was the other one?
The Washington.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I forgot which one I was in.
Well, the yearbook says you were in the Washington Literary Society.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also saw that you were on the business staff of the Mink. Do you remember the Mink? I think it was some kind of a humor magazine.
The Mink was an annual publication. The Ringtum Phi was the newspaper.
Uh-huh.
Was I on the staff of the Mink?
Well, no, that's the Calyx. The annual was the Calyx. I think the Mink was maybe a short-lived humor magazine.
I guess it was.
But you don't really remember that?
I remember the Mink, I mean, but I don't recall my relationship to it.
All right, now there's another thing that I'll tell you, if I were a member of this, I'd be very proud of it, that you got into ODK.
Yeah.
And that was fairly early on in the existence of ODK.
Yes. And one of our favorite professors was one of the founders of ODK. The Betas had something to do with the founding of ODK. And yeah, I guess I knew the right people, so I got into ODK.
Was that Rupert Latour?
Latour was a good man. He was not an outstanding person. He was very religious, and we needed that.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember when you were selected for ODK?
I was selected, I think, in my junior year.
That's an accomplishment.
I may be flattering myself when I say that.
That's an accomplishment.
I believe I was in the junior year. Baylor's had a big part in forming ODK.
I didn't know that.
It was, you see, it was organized. It was created at Washington and Lee.
Mm-hmm.
It's national now. Well, I'll let you.
Okay. You mentioned a little while ago that you wanted to talk about religion.
Washington and Lee, as I imagine you know, was started by Irish Presbyterians, and of course Lexington was, at least at one time, was primarily a Presbyterian place, and so when at the time that Washington College was started, it wouldn't have been thought by anybody then not to have to recognize it as committed to the Christian religion. And it was that way when I was there. I don't think there was the united and enthusiastic commitment that had been the case in earlier years. But in my day, the Christian religion played a real role at Washington and Lee. For instance, they had a college YMCA, and in that day, the YMCA was a rather influential group, much more so than later. They had a full-time YMCA secretary. And the first time I got to Europe was through the YMCA. And, well, you can see how my mind is deteriorated when I'm trying to talk. The student YMCA was really quite influential, and the YMCA was more liberal than the old Presbyterian and Baptist churches. more liberal in the sense that it was concerned with social issues. As I said, I got to Europe first as a, in connection with YMCA. And Ted Schutz was the secretary of the YMCA the first year, and also an All-American football player, so that was a pretty good combination.
Now, when you arrived in 1920, were there a lot of World War I veterans?
I'm not quite.
Were there World War I veterans in your class?
No. No.
No?
You might look up the records and find out that there was one or two World Wars there. But I'm not aware of it. I don't believe they were there. See, the war was over in 18, so it would have been 2 years since the termination of the war. I will just throw in at this point that I'm pro-VMI with respect to the Supreme Court.
Well, you're one step ahead of me on my next question. My next question was, what did you think about Washington and Lee becoming co-educated?
I was opposed to it. I just liked the school the way it was, and we could go to Sweetbriar or Mary Baldwin or Hollins and have dates there, or invite the girls to the campus. So I'd rather have them there as guests than as members of the student body now. That reflects, frankly, a prejudice on my part. I didn't question about the fact that women are as smart as men. As a matter of fact, you can give some figures showing that they're smarter than men. Mm-hmm. Their grades in other places are superior. You know about this. But I think feminism is a wrong philosophy. I don't think it was necessary. I don't mean now that there weren't injustices to women, but there were injustices to men too. And feminism is pretty dominant now. As a matter of fact, I would say that the Supreme Court judgment of VMI reflected straight out feminism. And what's the name of the lady who wrote the opinion?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
What?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah, that's right. She stated that men and women were of the same stature. I've looked through the unabridged Webster Dictionary to see different meanings of that, and it's not quite clear to me what she meant by the same stature, but that was the basis. As far as that opinion is concerned, that was the basis of the action of a court. It was not the Constitution which was the basis of it. It was a judgment that men and women of the same stature. And I think really the great problem today is the change in the status of women in society that has come through the years. Now, I think I'm right about this. Indicated, I think, and I have to say that this is my memory of what I read in the paper. I think she indicated that in the colonial times, women were discriminated against by Jefferson and others who were leaders, and I couldn't say I'm an authority on that, but. I believe that, and it's perfectly obvious to you that I'm not a feminist. Of course, some of the worst feminists, if I may put it that way, are male. I get to going on one thing, and must be tiring to you.
Not at all. You're doing great. You're a wonderful interview. Have you been back to the school since women are on the campus? Have you seen what the changes have been? What do you think about that?
Since the VMI decision?
No, since Washington and Lee became co-educated.
Oh, yes, I've been back.
Uh-huh. And what do you think about what you see now?
Well, I think it's as good as could be expected.
Very diplomatic.
I frankly don't know, having not been there in the student body, and I have to accept the judgment of others, and it varies. I will admit the force of the argument for women, but I'll have to admit the force of the argument for men, particularly as far as VMI is concerned. And I think that if the court was consistent, it would say that women should be sent into military service along with men. Now, that's not my belief, but I think that's what we are really committed to, if we're going to be consistent.
Now, you were on the board for a very long time, right?
Yes.
Were you on the board at the time of the co-education decision?
Mm-hmm.
Were you still on the board then, mm-hmm. in 1984?
I've forgotten when I got off the board. I think I was.
Well, I'm sure the co-education issue was discussed through the years for a long time.
Yes, but it wasn't, I don't remember it in my student years.
No, I mean when you were on the board.
Mm-hmm. We didn't discuss the board as much as we might think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, I'm not in a position to state this. But what I'm thinking about is this, that it wouldn't be quite right to say that having women there reflects a position advocated by the board. I think it reflects a position which was inevitable given the developments in society. Now, you will have to check that with other Washington League people, who, some of whom certainly I think would disagree with it.
Well, all right, I'm just about at the end of my list, but I have one last question that has to do with somebody you've mentioned and the very particular time you were there. The mock convention of 1924 was when John W. Davis was nominated. It seems to me that must have been a pretty big event at Washington
and
Lee.
It was, and I was head of the Virginia delegation, and we voted Carter Glass.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, Carter Glass was highly thought of, and I think justly thought of, as a fine and able person. I wouldn't have said that Carter Glass was in the category of the top political leaders. I thought he was a good man. He lived in Lynchburg, just 25 miles away from Bedford, and I don't know what else to say now, except that the movement for women gathered such strength and won such converts among men and so on, is that I think that was started to say inevitable, that's not the right word. It was maybe highly probable. I thought highly of John W. Davis, who became, as you may remember, became the nominee in 1924.
Mm-hmm.
Class of 24, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And although I had tried to get Carter Glass, I was willing to support Glass, but I supported him because somehow, I don't know what position I had, but I was connected with the Virginia effort. That was what I was.
Was the mock convention a big event when you were there?
Yes, yes. It's been a big event, I think, through the years. And I think that's an educational feature.
I think
have you had any criticism of it from others?
Not at all. And I went to the one last year, and it was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it felt like the real thing. I've never been to a real one, uh-huh, but it sure felt like what I see on TV.
Uh-huh.
And I just wondered if it had been that exciting all through the years.
I don't know enough to say categorically yes. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly been exciting. It's certainly been Well, maybe if not that exciting, it has been an exciting thing through the years, yes.
Was there a special feeling, though, in 1924 because John W. Davis was a Washington and Lee man?
Yes. I don't think there's any question about that. And I would say that I would have voted for John W. Davis. He was a brilliant man, and as far as I know, his general positions would be in conformity with mine. Mm-hmm. I ought to turn it around and say mine in conformity with him. I think I quoted him, did I not, earlier?
You mentioned him.
What he said about my Uncle Charlie Gray.
Yes, yes. Being a great teacher of railroad law.
Yeah, he knew more railroad law than anybody else in the nation. Well, that was a strong statement.
Well, we have come to the end of my list of questions. Is there anything you'd like to say about Washington and Lee? You spent a long time on the board. Is there anything you'd like to talk about from that time?
Yes, I will talk about the question of religion. You would expect that from me. On the whole, I am proud of Washington and Lee and in agreement with its policies. Of course, when it started, as Bob Huntley likes to point out, it started in a preacher's study. You know Huntley?
Yes, certainly.
Of course, it was assumed in that day that it would be religious, that is to say, yes, that you'd have worship services, and if there was any teaching of religion, that answered it. And when I was there, this every head, the YMCA, with a great emphasis on religion, supported by the university. And most of the faculty were active and leaders in the election scene. The atmosphere was favorable to, supportive of, religion. But in recent years, when I say recent years, I don't know exactly where to date the beginning of that. But I suppose 30, 40 years ago, maybe no, could have been quite that far back. Anyway, what I'm saying is that the board changed its view. Now, we had what's the term I want? I'm embarrassed here. It was a position taken by the board with regard to religion. What do you call that? Anyway, that we had that. The board recognized Washington and Lee as a Christian institution. Now that's all it said. That doesn't mean the board did anything else, but it does mean that the board recognized it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the case when I was there, and that was the case many years after I left. But I'm guessing now, 6 or 7 years ago, the board changed its position. It was a, what's the term you use? Well, I'm embarrassed.
A resolution?
No, or to describe a position that's held by the, it was not in the Constitution, but it was a position taken by the board that Washington and Lee was a religious institution, a Christian institution.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, give or take some, the board rejected that position, it canceled that position, which stated that Washington and Lee was a Christian institution. Now, so Washington and Lee officially is not a religious institution. Doesn't recognize. I was, as you would expect, I was greatly concerned about that, and I wrote a long letter sort of dealing with the history of it and arguing with it, and sent it to Miles, Stevenson.
Steve Miles.
Mm-hmm. And he agreed with me that we ought to restore it. But the board turned him down. So the Washington and Lee board has not only not maintained what it had, but it has refused to bring it back. That leaves Washington and Lee in the unfortunate procession of universities that are secular. Maybe you'd say they're led by Harvard. Now, you, after hearing me, would be able to imagine that that's not make me very happy. Our position at Washington and Lee was a Christian institution in the past didn't mean that any sort of force was brought to bear on students. But it did mean that, if we had a professor of religion, he would probably believe the Christian religion. He wouldn't use it just to bring up criticisms of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you brought up criticisms, he would deal with them. I was hoping we might get that change, and I said Mark Stevens agreed with me, but the board turned him down.
Mm-hmm. You're not the first person to bring this up. So another person brought this up too.
Is that
as
right?
An issue. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that. I think I'm familiar with all the arguments, pro and con. And I appreciate that. Incidentally, when I decided to that I might go to the seminary, I wasn't certain I could believe in God. I am a authentic doubting Thomas. So I went to Edinburgh University for 2 years to get my M.A. Then I got my Ph.D. over there trying, and the primary consideration was, could I believe in God? Which of course led me into philosophy. And my belief in God is a stronger basis than it had in the past. I suppose I have to sum this up by saying that I think that Washington and Lee's deliberate rejection of commitment to the Christian faith is a very, very sad and serious situation. We still have a professor of religion, but we don't have to have a Christian professor of religion. We have a Mohammedan, or we can have a person who doesn't believe in God. You can have those people in religious end. So, and of course there are some people that feel that any commitment like that is unworthy. Now, if you ask them on what basis they make that statement, they can't say anything. Mm-hmm. The main thing is, it's you can't hold it in this day, so that this day is such that you can't believe in religion, presumably, if you are a responsible intellectual person.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a real good summation. I hope you shared these thoughts with President Elrod, too.
To some extent, I'm going to share them with him at length. That's one thing definitely I'm going to do.
Well, good. This is a good practice session.
Well, I must do it better than I've done here with you.
You've done a great job. Dr. Thomas, I am just thrilled to have been able to come and visit with you.
Well, bless your heart.
This has been a real honor for me.
Oh. Well, I am certainly thrilled to hear you say that.
Well, you're... You are very, very well thought of at Washington and Lee, huh? And well, people were very, very pleased to hear I was coming to see you.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that, because there's fewer and fewer people at Washington and Lee that ever had anything to do with Jack Thomas or maybe heard of him.
You got a reputation. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, I thank you.
Okay.
I